because of the language I do it every year with my students, they all bloody well speak English.
When you go to Berlin, what aspects are you looking at in architecture?
Mostly for the students, yeah. Housing. German housing has been a succession of contradictory ideas in the Victorian equivalent, or the late Georgian equivalent. They had a particular type of building, and then it was then built a housing block, which is unusual, a series of courtyards. It's quite famous in Berlin housing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And to a pretty low standard, but I think compared to what it's previously, it's like Glasgow. Tenements were great improvements of what happened in the early 18th century, very same in Berlin. All the standards of the tenement housing was much better here than the Berlin housing, where the outside rim on the street was occupied by middle class farmers. As you got deeper into the block, it was working class and poverty stricken people. And that was a characteristic of that housing. And then there was other housing, Germans, Berliners, having a succession of experimental housing exhibitions. So every one of these was a reversal of the previous one. You know, the next one was like sort of Siemensstadt, where the Siemens, big industrialist, built housing, which was more or less like tenements, but an urban in a way. I mean, unlike Glasgow, where the tenements in a very urban structure. And then they had various, these things. But each one of them was a denial of the previous attempt at ideal housing. That makes a good examples for students to look at these different ways of attempting to deal with the housing problem.
It's interesting you say they all aspired to the ideal tenement block, did they?
Well, not only tenement block, but I say ultimately, yes, I mean, my own view is, but for what it's worth, is that when people look at all kinds of housing ideas, leaving aside the garden city and that sort of thing, and a city dwelling, a dense urban pattern always comes back to a tenement-like thing.
Because you can get more in a smaller area. Yeah.
So Berlin was a very good place to take students studying that kind of housing development.
So we were wondering if, you know, looking back over your long life, from your experiences here, both in career and in your personal life, what would you say were the highs and lows of all these coincidences that have made up your life?
Well, obviously, I have to say that the high of my life was my architectural career, which, shall we say, it's high points. I mean, recently, a couple of years ago, when we stopped, office stopped, we gave our archive to the Glasgow School of Art. And it's a significant archive, not because it's such good work, some of it's good work and some isn't, but most of it's good dish. Because our office was in practice, stopped practice just when practice changed drastically, when computers became important, with all our drawings, hand-made drawings, and we gave them the whole office with all our files and whatnot to see. That's what an office in 1945 was like. I don't know what they've done with it. But anyway, as a result of that, they had an exhibition in the lighthouse of our office work from 1956 onwards, when we took over the property of the office. And that was probably, I would say, it summed up for the first time a significant contribution. I mean, we had lots of awards, but IRB awards and Civic Trust awards. But Andy McGuire and I were, we still are well-known figures in the architectural profession of the whole country, not just in Scotland, and recognised as such. So, obviously, my architectural career from onwards of 56 to about, I would say, middle 80s, were the time of my life, enjoyable time. architecture is a great profession if you've got work and you've got understanding clients, and you don't need to want to make a lot of money. But yes, it was good. Very good.
And Danny, you're not, did you have a different profession? Because obviously you're not, you weren't in architecture.
No. I run a shop and trade.
Which is very important. Without trade, you don't manage.
Yes. People like you pay for architects, I would think, in the end.
Yeah. So you're also meant to say another high of your life was obviously meeting Danny as well.
Well, that's my social life. Yes, it was. And a very nice family.
But I suppose I went to Glasgow University and I was in the Jewish Student Society, mm-hmm. so I actually know a lot more of the Scottish Jewish people in Izzy does.
Right.
So that
right.
connection. That's...
But do you think living in the West End, it's a different world anyway? There's sort of two Jewish communities, aren't there? And
I think so.
Very few
I
in the West End.
But I suppose most of our friends were refugees as well, but they've died off quite a few. So.
It's interesting that because even though you say that you integrated, there is something that brings people with similar experiences together, isn't
oh,
there?
Oh, yes. I say I'm not shy away from that, but limited interest. I'm not nostalgic about Berlin. I mean, the hangar and they belong to you at the Kinder Transport. Mm. I object to that. Mm. Are we labelled saying Berlin or whatnot? It's just important to me that I was out of Berlin. Oh, for that matter, I don't know any people here whom I knew in Germany.
But culturally, you feel very Jewish and you're very comfortable with people
I'm comfortable
who are like you.
I mean, the people I know in Berlin, there's quite a lot, they're young people. Or young by me, they were students, because I got my students to live with them, because cheap in the trips and all that. So I met quite a few young Germans, and they're very, interested in what happened, and very angry with their parents for either being involved or not talking about it, because the Germans, the older Germans, don't talk about it. And these young people would never stop questioning me about what happened and what, so they're very good Jews, pro-Semitic, and I think that's quite genuine and sincere. But the parents would never talk about what happened to the Jews or what happened to them. So it was quite interesting for me, the amount of interest it took in the wartime or the pre-war period.
That's interesting. They, of course, didn't experience the horrors of the war and Versailles and all the things that were blamed on Jews. And I think hard to rise above that at the time.
I'm not sure it's not that hard, but I mean, I can't... It's, the phenomenon of anti-Semitism is too baffling. Mm-hmm. Why the Jews are picked up to be blamed for something, I have no idea. But even here, they're blamed for it. I don't mean, and every time there's a Jewish person involved, they always tell you he's a Lithuanian Jew, he's a German Jew, he's a. And not necessarily hostile, it just trips off the tongue very easily. So it's difficult to understand this phenomenon. I don't think I've been thinking about it for my whole life, but I still don't get it.
You know, why are we of such interest?
I don't understand it. I mean, I say anybody who recognizes you as being Jewish in dealing with you is an anti-Semite, even though he's a friend. There's always this feeling that being Jewish is something special and different. I mean, you know, that it's very odd. Even my best friends aren't anti-Semites, I assure you, but they still have this feeling they're dealing with something very exotic, which they think they're very brave to. To take as equals, I think. They don't say that, of course. But I say, I want to emphasize, I've had no overt anti-Semitism addressed to me.